As many of you may recall, a few years ago, an Instagram and Facebook page named Untapped WTF popped up showing some of the worst beer takes in the world, from reviews like Not My Style, 1.75 out of 5, to rating the same domestic beer 5,000 times, and that's it. We'll talk to the legendary Pilsner Boy of the now renamed social media site Pilsnerish. He breaks down the reasons why the name changed, what an ITU system of rating is, and his obsession of the Island Boys. All this and more on this fun back and forth of craft beer ideals in this week's episode of Better on Draft. As a reminder, we will be off this next week, December 9th. We will be at For Elf Day at Dark Horse in Marshall, Michigan on December 10th. Come join us.
Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody. This is episode 307 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. It is Friday night, a little bit of a late start, but don't worry. We've got a fun show tonight talking about all things craft beer. I am here with my co-host, Wendy. Wendy, what are you drinking over there?
Well, you know, it's that time of year, so I have a Mad Elf Grand Cru this week.
Perfect. I am getting through all the beers that I have in my fridge, even though I decided to go to the Odd Side Black Friday event this past week and purchase a bunch of Odd Side Rye Hipster and everything else they released. But I am drinking my Misery Loves Company alt beer. And of course, I also have the Brewery Mischief to wash it down. With us in studio, we have a fun guest, a special guest. He goes by the name Pilsner Boy. He runs a website called Pilsnerish, Facebook group, Discord, everything like that. Welcome. What are you drinking, first of all?
Welcome to me. Thanks. You know, you ever heard of this? Greg Notion Brewing? It's really cool. It's the best beer on the planet. It's ledge beer.
What is a ledge beer?
Ledge beer is a Pilsner, literally on the back. It's nondescript. It just says Pilsner. I don't know. It's like a German style Pils, but it's really freaking good. It kind of leans more Helles. Is it a Helles? I don't know, but it's really good.
If only there was a website for you to find out all of this information on what kind of beer it is. For a second, I thought you were saying it was a ledge beer, like a porch beer or a roadie, something, you know, that has like a neat little phrase. But you run a website and Facebook group called Pilsnerish. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the website does, what it promotes, what it shows, especially for someone who maybe has never gone to it before?
The website is useless. It sells enamel pins with memes. That's about it. Okay. The other it's named after the Instagram account where all the fun happens. You know, this wasn't originally named Pilsnerish, and we can get into that. But Pilsnerish was the Phoenix reborn from the ashes to supply consistent high quality craft beer brain damage to everybody who enjoys the industry but also knows that we need to make fun of it whenever possible. So that's pretty much it. It's I wouldn't call it a meme account. There's plenty of beer meme accounts. I don't really do memes. I just curate the dumbest takes I can find on Untapped, Google Maps, Yelp, comment sections, pretty much anything out there where somebody's having a hot take or a meltdown or something entertaining. And we just, yeah, we put it on the page. That's about it.
Now, do people show off maybe things that they've seen and send it to you your way? Or is this everything cultivated is by you?
At this point, I don't find all that much myself. Originally, when I started the account a while back, I guess it's like 2 years now, three years now. When I started originally, I was finding everything and putting it out there. And I don't think honestly people had a clue what the account was, because I got blocked by so many people. It was insane. I got blocked by The Veil. I got blocked by like all these beer influencer people, because I would come and make dumb comments and they thought I was trolling, which I was, but I wasn't I think they thought it was serious. So I got blocked by so many people. And then eventually it started catching on a little bit when I posted a bunch of bad reviews. And then people went, oh man, I saw this bad review. Check it out. And then, you know, as things grew, I had to curate less and less, which was nice because you wouldn't believe how long it takes to find some bad reviews sometimes, especially depending on the brewery. Oh my God. Like, go on Side Project and try to not find a 5-star. It's like a joke. Now, there's no sort feature. That's the big issue.
That is true. We have tried to have a little bit of fun with some of the breweries that we've interviewed, in which we've given like bad reviews and asked them to name the beer the bad review was named for. But trying to source all of those reviews was definitely a pain.
It probably took you twice as long as you thought.
Even more so, especially when we're looking for bigger name breweries, like if we had Boulevard on or something like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Tank 7. Good luck.
For sure. Before I pass it over to Wendy to ask a few questions, what the original name of your website, your social media, everything presence. Yeah. Was Untapped WTF, but you changed it earlier this year, I believe, to Pilsnerish. What was the reason behind the change?
Getting fucking nuked by Untapped. That was the reason. So early days, I was in the shower like, oh my God, this is such a good idea. Like, why hasn't anybody done this? So I just did it. That was pretty much that. That's as much thought as went into it. I asked a couple friends of mine. I was like, yo, what if I started an account and I put all the shitty reviews and blah, 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 and started an account. And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, no, I was convinced. I'm like, I have to do this. So I started it without my bros backing. But yeah, it was very slow, like I said. But yeah, it was like Untapped, but WTF. Like, what the hell are these people saying? Because there's an endless sea of it. I wouldn't even have an account at all if it wasn't so ubiquitous, right? So that's what it used to be called. There wasn't much thought into it. It was quite literally a whim, right? But as time went on, and especially as things blew up, because it was like meteoric, pretty much. It went from almost a year having like 800-900 followers at the end of year two having 38,000 people. So it just went like, and so I think it just got out of control. And the reason I changed the account is because they got me nuked. I thought naively, I'm like, you know, someone will just reach out and tell me to stop, or they'll be like, hey, you need to change your name, or like, hey, this isn't cool, or what, you know, whatever. I figured some legalese person would come and contact me, but somebody on the inside just reported the account. When you report an account for IP infringement, you have to write a whole description of like what's going on and supply evidence. And so somebody did that, and whoever on Instagram just nuked it. So I didn't even have a chance for appeal, like nothing. It was just like locked out, done, gone. I'm like, shit. I should have listened to my gut and say like, all right, this is definitely a problem, because if I'm being honest, there's an IP problem. Their name was literally in the account name. The account was getting 3 times the engagement of theirs, even though they had over 100,000 followers. Shit was going crazy. It would be like 2,000-3,000 likes per post, 100+ comments. Like, some stuff was just like 2,000 shares. I was like, it was kind of freaking me out, because I thought, I'm like, I'm going to get in trouble. But I just coasted way too long with it. So yeah, we got owned. We got smacked. I waited a few months, and tried to create just an account called Craft Beer WTF, which was available somehow. But my device ID on my phone was flagged on Instagram and Facebook. And if I created any account, it could have been just like garbage, whatever. It was getting auto deleted within 24 hours. So I actually had to wipe my entire phone, factory reset it. I set up a different email, signed up with a VPN, and then my account didn't get blown up. And I was like, okay, cool. So maybe we'll try it. So it was like very slow and careful to get back online. But turns out if you get nuked, just wipe your phone if anybody needs a pro tip.
That's interesting. Yeah. So what was it like when it first started blowing up like that? Or like, did you just wake up one day and be like, holy shit?
It wasn't like overnight, but it was fast, right? What was it like? It was just fun. I'm like, okay, look, I'm not crazy. Other people get it, right? There was some validation there because more and more brewers were like, oh my God, I can't, like, I love this page. Like, and they just send me stuff. And the main undercurrent that everybody agrees on is there was finally a place to send content that they couldn't otherwise post and talk about, because it's kind of like the Starbucks / Nordstrom rule where the customer is always right. These breweries can't say anything about the bad reviews without worrying about blowback or that person crying about it and trying to like brigade against them and like one star Yelp them, or you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So they don't say anything. They just like take it. But the people who make the product or run the business are going crazy. Like, it drives them nuts. It's amazing how much angst I hear every single day. I'm like, look at this fucking review. Like, you know, so yeah. So that was fun. I think it was fun too, because it like scratched an itch that was somehow there that nobody was dealing with. And then it became this repository of everybody just flooding it. So it was really fun, but it was kind of, I say it was validating in a way too, because it was kind of addressing this problem that is otherwise unaddressable. Cause like people can whinge about it, but there was no community surrounding the pushback on bad reviews, I guess. So.
Makes sense. So I want to talk about the party or the Pilsner Boy Anthem.
Oh yeah.
I don't even know who those people are. I'm not going to lie.
Perfect. I mean, just keep it that way, to be honest.
But I've watched it more times than I care to admit. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm gonna upload it right now. Literally, here we go. I'm gonna press publish just for you. Story, this folder. Cue them up.
That's really cool, bro. The
post. All right, good. Okay, so yeah, I woke up one morning, I was just on my phone, and I saw that exact clip from the Great Notion company account. And I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. So I immediately screen recorded it and saved it. And they deleted it within like 20, 30 minutes of it being up. So it was just a stroke of luck. I say luck, but for me, it was really exciting because I like thrive off that content. And I just started uploading it like crazy, like over and over and over again. It reminded me, and shout out Worst Beer Blog, but it reminded me of him posting the Golden Road video with where they do the amazing cover of Area Codes. And he would upload it over and over and over. And I'm like, that's what I want to do with this. So it just, I don't know. I kept getting so many shares no matter how many times I posted it. And it was funny no matter how many times I saw it. And then I was on beer Twitter a lot at the time. And you can't go on beer Twitter with all the writers and reviewers and like super serious beer people without hearing them just like whinge about hazy IPAs and pastry stouts and just crying about it all day long and talking about how much they love lagers and pilsners and like, sure, I agree, but it's also like, just shut up. Like, you're not, it feels like a superiority complex thing of like, man, I've been through beer. I don't need this stuff. Like, I just want a lager. Like, I'm basic. So I got the idea to essentially troll the elitist type people who, you know, Pilsner is the sacred style that nobody can trifle with. And I'm like, no, I'm going to literally pay the Island Boys to make a Pilsner anthem. Because I just know they're going to, like, these people are going to be so mad about it. So that was actually my motivation. And I paid money out of my own pocket and I sent some instructions and I was like, hey man, can you guys do the Island Boys song about Pilsners? And I tried to say like, it's a beer style, you know, like my friends at the brewery will like this. And then I got the video back It was a couple days before Christmas, and I just cried watching it, laughing. Like, it was so much better than I hoped. And so, yeah, I saved that for a little while. And then I was like, I posted it. It went crazy. People were so angry about it. It actually hit like the Reels algorithm because it got the initial reaction. And then a couple days later, I was just getting a flood of interactions. I didn't recognize a single person. So Instagram was just feeding it to people. And it went from people laughing about it to being like, who are these kids? Like, what kind of brewery paid for this? Like, random internet people just being super mad about it. And then after that happened, I saw a couple other accounts like talking about Pilsner Boys stuff. And I'm like, oh no, I need to solidify this. So the first thing I did is I did a bunch of research, found a good manufacturer, designed up the fastest thing I could think of, and sent off an order for pins. Cause there were, I literally saw other accounts talking about selling merch for it like right away. And I'm like, no, dude, like I just paid for this. Like I just invented this meme. Like you can't steal it. So I kind of bought all the pins just to like have something to sell so that I could own it. Not that like I have any end goal with revenue in mind for this project, but it was just a fun thing. I wanted to see really stupid merch in the world. That's all I wanted to see, like at a festival, like somebody wearing a 1.75 out of 5 shirt or like just something dumb. So the pins kind of fulfilled that. And then when I got them, I was like, okay, I don't even know. I don't know if I just wasted a bunch of money or not. So I just like threw them up for sale on a Tuesday morning with no announcement. And they just like blew through. And I was like, oh, whoops. Well, did another run, sold through all those. And they're mostly like people who work at breweries and stuff buying them. So it's fun. I mean, no end goal.
They're sold out again. So
they are sold out again. Pilsner Girl is not sold out. I did notice that. 20 or 30 of them, maybe. But... Boys are gone. The metal ones went really quick. I didn't make that many of them, but I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing. So,
well, before we continue, I did see Nick hopped on. Nick, what are you drinking over there?
After I was able to get my kid down for bed, I cracked open. I'm a little behind the game with the rest of the show. The Rukeller Helles from the brewery is what I just cracked open.
That beer rules.
It is pretty good, and I'm really starting to get more into the Helles style over the last probably 6 to 12 months. I think every Helles that I've had on this show has been pretty.
It's targeted. The Costco Advent pack.
Oh yeah, that's good.
There's a lot of them in there. There's a lot in there.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, but I just seem to be getting more and more into that style lately.
Well, let's
the inevitable.
Let's learn a little bit more about you and your style preferences when it comes to craft beer and beer in general. What do you typically go for when you go out to a brewery or a bar?
Yeah. This is a funny one because I think people are convinced that I hate everything. And the irony is that I hate nothing. So I don't know. I'm drinking a Ledge beer, the Pilsner from Great Notion right now. But that's because I'm going out after this, and I honestly don't like an ideal night for me. Like if I'm doing a bottle share, I want to drink like some double dry hopped hazy double IPA from Monkish or like Troon or something. Then I want to slam this Pilsner, and then I want like some muck smoothie shit from Eighth State, and then I want Canteon into like Celebration. I literally don't care. I think the reason that I started this account is because I feel like every style has exemplary beers, right? Even the new stuff, even like all these ice cream dispensed smoothies, like those can be terrible or extremely good, right? The whole point is that every style can be exemplary or horrible. And so it's like I can drink any style and recognize whether or not it's good. Personally, I don't have a tight enough. I don't have bias against any style, really. I think the only things that really annoy me are like I mean, which aren't even produced anymore, like copper ales or just like bad red ales, like stuff that no one makes. Or if you go to the brewery that's generally named after the town it's in, those breweries suck the most half the time. You'll go get a flight of like X town brewery and it's gonna, like 4 out of 5 are going to be some bullshit. So it's like, I don't know. But yeah, honestly, I don't care, man. I drink a lot of hazy IPAs. I have a ton of Freem pills on hand at all times. I got a bunch of barrel aged imperial stouts. Like, I don't care.
Well, you mentioned the milkshake beers, and there is a running gag on your social media about ITUs.
Mm-hmm.
What is an ITU, and why do people keep fingering their beer?
An ITU is it's a great measurement of beer quality. It's the international thickness units, kind of like, you know, international bitterness units. But you dip your pinky in there, like this beer is going to be a 0, right? You get it in there, you pull it out. How's the finger discoloration? How's the pulp retention? 0 on this one. But yeah, for a smoothie or an imperial stout, you get a nice coating in there. It's mega thick. You know the Instagram boys are going to go crazy, like straight up. Yeah.
All right, throwing it over to Nick.
I don't even know where to go with this because I know I joined the party late, but.
Well, we'll call you out if you ask a question.
It's probably an easy one. Where did you get the name Pilsnerish? Is that what I've been asked?
No.
All right, let's start with that. Where did you get the name Pilsnerish from? Where did it originate from?
Yeah, I was telling you guys after I got nuked that I basically, if I tried to create a new account, it was getting auto banned by Instagram because of my device ID. So after I wiped my phone, basically one of the first ones I had was Pilsnerish. I don't know where it came up from. It just felt good to me, but the idea was like Pilsner, classic, legendary style, but just throwing ish on it felt kind of wrong. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. That's a good vibe. Like everything about the entire page is ish, you know, nothing is coherent. So
I'm going through your Instagram account and I see a lot of Untappd reviews. I see a lot of Facebook reviews. I see pictures of beer, you know, pretty, you know, for beer lovers, regardless of the social media platform, pretty standard. But I see you capture a lot of like quarter star reviews from Untappd, and are these like the ones that are like what the hell are you writing kind of thing, and you're just trying to like poke fun at those kinds of reviews? Is because we make fun of those kind of, you know, maybe not directly, but we do poke fun at those kinds of folks that do reviews and they don't really seem to make sense. So
yeah, well, I mean, the page was born out of Untappd WTF dying, and I mean it's kind of the same thing, but the silver lining is that actually by not having the name Untappd WTF, because I used to think about this all the time. I'm like, oh, people expect that. So I can't go way too off base and just post weird shit. Now I literally don't care. Like, you know, if I feel like going off the rails, I just will. Like my story today is pretty brain dead. You know, I was doing like coffee techniques on instant ramen and making fun of the Brewers Reserve Society with some like boomer music channel. And like, I don't know, you know, I can just do whatever now, which is great. But yeah, it is primarily bad reviews, right? It's like, it's making fun of the community in a way that's not necessarily like hateful, but just like, come on, like get it together, guys. Like we can be better than this, but you have to acknowledge the fact that it is just so stupid sometimes. Like you have to look in the mirror and be like, man, craft beer is kind of dumb. Like we take it so seriously, like so seriously sometimes. And it's like the point is it's liquid. You drink it, have a good time. Mm-hmm. Like just
talk about it for like 30 seconds and then enjoy the company that
you're in. And yeah, I mean, I don't post too many of the reviews that are the most common, which are, I hate this thing, so therefore this beer is a 1 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. There are so many of those. In fact, there are so many of those, if I post them, like, I don't even get good engagement on those posts because everybody's like, oh yeah, another one of those. Like, oh, I hate cinnamon, 0 out of 5. You know, like, but that's a problem. Actually, that's like a systemic problem that the app has that they haven't actually fixed or come around to fixing it. And I've had way too much time to think about this stuff because, you know, running an account like this, I've seen more reviews than I ever could have cared to in my life. But there are so many simple fixes, I think. Namely, one of them is just the company doesn't come out and actually tell you how to use the app at all. Mm-hmm. They don't even suggest at any point what you should do.
Right.
And it would take 20 seconds for user onboarding in like a thing you swipe out of the way or a little pop-up to say like, hey, rate this beer against other beers in this style. Okay, that would fix half the problem. And that there's even, they could even gamify the process. Like, what if you had to drink 3 stouts before you were able to score any of them?
Oh.
It would like motivate people to actually try more styles, but think about it. Like, what if you had to unlock styles like every free to play video game we play? I mean, they want to pretend that it's gamification, but it's really not. It's just like Foursquare, which is dead.
I totally hit a sweet spot with him.
My idea is fairly simple, and it's anything that you rate like under a 2 that says, are you sure you want to rate this beer under a 2? If it's not your style, maybe not rate it and just check it in.
They don't even tell people you can just check in without rating. Most people think they have to leave a score.
Yeah, or if they don't rate it, it's a 0 out of 5, and they're afraid of doing something like that. Like my idea I like just because it kind of puts it in the face to say, but then there's also the people that say there is no such thing as a perfect beer. The highest score I give is 3.75.
Just kill me. That's like top 3 for me. I hate that shit.
Well, those are people who actually think they know what they're doing and think they know how to rate beer and still don't understand, because if Tavor didn't exist, I feel like it wouldn't really matter in the first place. But because Tavor has the rules of it has to be a 4.0 or higher, or it has to have this type of rating,
minimum 100 4.0, like, yeah,
there
I know.
Are so That's many crazy. Beers there's one post that you made not too long ago where you posted like the top rated beers of certain categories, and not necessarily the top rated as much as the best in the style, like Pilsner Urquell's a 337. Like, that's,
yeah, that's insane,
literally. Oh, and we've talked about this on the show, one of the best beers in the world, and it doesn't rate up with, and we're from Michigan, so we'll mention your favorite Michigan brewery, Holmes or Smooge.
Hell yeah.
And those will
get... Smooge tastes good. I don't care.
but those, like, is there a Smooge that rates under 4.5 out of 5 or something like that?
No. It's just bizarre. It's like...
Nothing against Smooge or Holmes, by the way. I'm just saying...
No. Hey, and by the way, they should have that rating because compared to other, like... Well, first of all, there's not that much to compare to because triple fruited smoothie seltzer is a weird category. But... it's like, it's still really good. Like, I can't imagine it rating it lower than that anyway, because what's it compared to? It is its own benchmark. So that makes sense. But when people rate in the back of their head, they're like, man, this Pilsner Urquell sucks because I just had BBT last week and that was really a 5. You're like, what are you talking about? It's like trying to compare Metallica to like Jay-Z on the same plane of existence. We're like, sure, they're both music, but what do they have to do with each other? Nothing. It's crazy.
I was about to say they both suit Napster, but
true. That should be its own style, right?
Yeah. throwing it back to Wendy.
Not every flavor combo is the best. Let's be honest. I actually had to stop rating stuff on Untappd because as I started to meet more brewers and get to know them and talk to them, I realized, my opinion is very minimal when it comes to that, but they do take that stuff very much to heart. And I was reading it as, I like this. Not necessarily it's against other stuff. So I just had to stop rating stuff because people would see that. And I'm like, okay, I guess my opinion really doesn't matter. If it's a good beer and you like it, drink it. So
yeah, it opens a Pandora's box, right? Because if Untappd didn't exist, something else would. And outside of this world, you have Maps and you have Yelp and you have Zomato and you have TripAdvisor and you just endless rating companies, right? So, and if none of those existed, something else would. I don't have anything against the concept of crowdsourced reviews. In fact, if you look at it from a top level or like a business owner, people pay so much money for focus groups because they actually can't figure out data. Yet you can look at one of these apps and learn more about your own business faster than if you were to just go and like survey people, right? You can learn a lot. So it's not all useless data. The issue is that in this particular situation with this particular app, there's no user guidance at all on how to best do it. They don't have a Yelp Elite. They don't have a Google local guide. They don't have any reward system. They don't have any suggestion on what to do. So that's a huge cultural problem within this. Number two, they have oversized influence. So Tavor, I don't even know how you say it. That is the most glaring example of what is happening as a result. But on the macro scale, it's the homogenization of beer styles, because all these breweries who at the end of the day are businesses that run on very thin margins and have a very high failure rate are going to do what it takes to succeed. Succeeding in this case means making beers that people want to drink. So automatically they just go to anything that scores the highest, change almost everything that's on tap. There's breweries that shouldn't be making hazy double IPAs that are doing it because they think they have to. So there's a huge macro issue with it that beers or breweries don't even feel comfortable making styles that they will probably excel at because they don't think there's going to be demand for it, or people come in and then trash things that aren't hype. And so there's an issue there that needs to be dealt with actually from the top down. So no matter what we do in this conversation or the conversation at large, unless something changes fundamentally, we're just going to keep, I'm just going to have unlimited content to post. It's been 3 years and nothing's changed, right? The only thing they did is to actually try and silence it. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like, they, rather than ever talk to me or reach out even one time, they just got the account shut down. That's the official policy. I don't know. I think that's the frustrating part, because like, again, I don't disagree with the premise of ratings or even the app at all. And I think there's useful data there. It's just being used in a malicious way, way more often than it should be. And it's kind of like malicious due to apathy. Like, how many updates has this app seen? We can't sort by scores. We can't do very much with this stuff. I mean, oh my God, don't even get me started, because I work in marketing, right? And it's not like if they wanted to make more money, they have all your data. Why can't they offer you to sign up for updates from that exact brewery that you love based on your data and opt in? You know how many breweries would pay $1 per user who are automatically put into their newsletter list? A lot. Then, wait, automatically segmented. We know this person loves stouts because they rate them all really high. Do you want to put them in a stout list in your email and let them know about new stouts coming up? Yes. They could make $1 per user per opt-in and do the brewery an amazing service. It's literally a win-win, right? They could do things like that over and over and over to not only improve the user experience, but make more money. Like, I don't know. I've never talked to any of them. They've never talked to me, but it's just like, dude, why? Like, if they come up with that idea, it's because they listen to this shit and they stole it.
That's awesome.
Well, we went a lot further than the question that I wanted to ask halfway through your answer. But I want to go back because being in marketing and being a craft beer fan, my question to you is simple. Is do you feel a lot of brewers are potentially hindered unless they make these hype styles, these hazies, these imperial ultra 20% barrel aged beers? Like, do you feel like they can't do what they want to do because it's a business, so they have to make money, and they could have some of the best beer in the world? For are you familiar with Old Nation M43? That's the
I've drank that beer. Never. Yeah, I know.
That brewery was a month, maybe 2 months from bankruptcy. And they created M43, and then it got so much. They were making it so much that the head brewer, who's a phenomenal brewer, and I'll make sure I get you some of his not M43 stuff out your way, because he makes like amazing, like his alt beer, his lager. He made an Italian pils recently.
God, that was so good.
He makes such amazing beer, but because he wasn't making hypey beer, nobody really cared too much until he made M43. And then it got to the point where, as I was trying to say, he could not do anything else because all the tanks needed to be M43 or some other type of New England hazy. To the point, so he had to contract it out. So, you know, he is a victim of his own success, but now he's done so well with that, he's able to start sneaking in all these other beers that he was making. But back to my question, do you feel these breweries have to do it to survive? Or get ridiculed on Yelp for not having a hazy?
Yes and no. I mean, so the craft beer landscape changes so fast, right? And I think what was true 10 years ago was definitely not true 5 years ago, and is definitely not true now. And we're seeing different legacy breweries completely disappear or change just based off this. For example, like 10 plus years ago, we had this like small group of breweries that ran everything: Stone, Sierra Nevada, New Belgium, you know, the old guard, Bells, you know, whatever. A lot of those guys are suffering right now. Why? Because distro has no demand at all. Like, they used to fight over grocery store shelves. Now, if you're into craft beer, grocery stores are the last place you will go to buy your stuff. Then they're like, oh, we need to build brand loyalty. Well, with 9,000 breweries, why would you stay loyal to a brewery? You wouldn't. So there's a lot shifting. So I think, to get to your question, part of it has to do with just staying relevant. And relevancy is interesting because it does dip into beer ratings, right? And customer demands. And you do have to ebb and flow with that. Like 10 years ago, did Sierra Nevada want to make a hazy IPA? No. But guess what? Hazy Little Thing is their best-selling product over Pale Ale and Celebration. Although I did talk to Sierra Nevada's e-commerce manager today, and there are no kegs left, and all they have is six packs, and they underproduced it. So there's demand for that. But they're like one of the few legacy brands still killing it. Stone's hanging by a thread right now. I mean, I grew up on the West Coast, so I have a huge bias with knowledge from there. But like Green Flash, gone. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on over there. Just like all these brands that had so much equity that have been dissolved. And then I think phase two was, okay, Modern Times, McKellar, a couple of these breweries had the 2.0 model, which is like, okay, we're not going to go all distro. We're going to open 10 tap rooms. And they're not doing good. They're not doing good. And like even Great Notion here, they're opening Sacramento soon, and they have Seattle, and they have like four spots here. And it's like, I find it a little bit scary because that hasn't worked out for a lot of spots, but you have to know your audience, right? Like Bierstadt in Denver can make lagers all day long, and they're packed. They're slammed, but people know what they do. They know their audience. They're tapped in. They're just doing it right. And so I think it's a combo of like, yeah, what do people want? But also, what do people know you for? So the M43 thing's a great example. Like, you said he's a victim of his own success. I bet you if you talk to him right now, he wouldn't call himself a victim at all, right? They're doing great. And now all the opportunities to brew stuff that isn't hazy IPAs is probably flourishing. So it's, I don't know. This is a really long way to say both. Like it's probably some external pressure, but it's probably also breweries are small businesses and there's so many of them that shouldn't be doing this. Like I'm a beer fan. I don't hate on anyone in production at all. Like, but honestly, 80% of breweries don't need to exist. Like, I don't think out of 9,000, like so many of them don't need to exist. Now, the small ones that have their local crew, they're like they service their town, their area. Beer is not ever going to make a top 100 list, whatever. Who cares? Great business.
As long people as happy. It's not town brewery.
As long as it's not X-Town brewery. No, but seriously, sometimes those breweries crush it. They got a pizza, they got a pretzel, and they got a fucking amber ale. Who cares? If they're making money, everyone's stoked. God bless them. Right. But there's a lot of breweries that fall somewhere in between. Right. They're like in a super saturated city making super mid beer. It's like, I don't know. The writing's on the wall, you know, and I think those are the breweries that flail themselves at every trend because they're just struggling. So I don't know if you can necessarily blame that on like Untappd or Instagram or something like that. It's that there's also like just a business component to it and a marketing component that you can't make up for by just like throwing yourselves at styles, you know?
No, I think that's an interesting way to look at it for sure. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but I feel like we could definitely talk back and forth over a lot of pints on some of those ideas. But getting back, because obviously we want to talk a little bit more about your brand. Have you seen any responses from breweries that ask you to like take stuff down, or they're happy that you know, because they're laughing at it too, because some of them are so ridiculous. Like, do you get any interaction with the breweries within the country?
Well, most of them will like and comment on stuff, or if I tag them and things, they'll, you know, respond in DMs or something. I generally try to stay like on the side of breweries. Like, I'm usually taking a jab at somebody talking trash on them. And the funny part is I'm not even taking a jab. All I'm doing is amplifying it and letting everybody else see it. I don't actually take a stance half the time. I just kind of like repost something.
Well, what about maybe funny even because, the people that you're reposting? Like, do they come in and be like, why the hell did you share this? I'm getting inundated or attacked or...
Yeah. So, I mean, the first time that happened, some dude flipped out and fought everybody in the comments over it, which made it worse. Surprise. That was the first person who did it, and it took like an entire year for that to happen. Honestly, it's very infrequent. I would say, too, when people... First of all, most of the time people don't even see it because the people commenting like that are just like in their own world very clearly. But then sometimes if people do find it, more than half the time, they kind of take it in stride and just like laugh and move on. Sometimes people get super upset over it and then, but they like fight everyone in the comments and then it gets funnier. There are I can literally count on one hand of times where it's like, somebody's super upset or it doesn't get it or just like regrets it or something like that. And I've deleted those things every single time. So I'm not out to like ruin anyone's day. I'm actually just trying to like make everybody laugh or chill out and like stop taking everything so seriously. But yeah, it has happened. I think it's inevitable, but the amount of content posted versus how many times that happened is 99.9% to 0.1. So most time it's in stride. Like, and the other thing is I'm really, really against brigading. So like if somebody posts something really stupid or just like outright terrible, like misogynistic or like racist or something like that, and I just want to blast them, I will hide their picture and their name because I don't want people flooding them and like just trying to start shit. But I do also, on the other hand, want to post it to continue to be like, don't do this. These people are assholes, you know, because like, it's amazing the amount of stuff that's on Untappd. It's actually just crazy. I don't know how their content gets moderated, but it mostly doesn't. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, there are some times where you don't even, it's not even like a review of the beer itself. It's something like, this beer goes great with the divorce papers I just signed or something like that.
I would post that in 1 second.
I've seen it before. That's how I've definitely I feel like I've seen it on your page, but have you seen like what are some of the more fun things that you've seen that aren't necessarily a bad review or a stupid review or something that aren't, you know, racist and dumb, just like, you know.
Yeah. No, that so what you're talking about is my favorite type of content. And it's more absurdist. Like, I remember this one guy who every single review, he thanked his friend Craig and talked about Craig. So I posted a 10 pick carousel of just stuff about Craig, and I ordered it in a way where it like just, I don't know, it was like coherent, and then it got less coherent with like spelling mistakes. And the last review was like, no more Craig picks. And I don't know, like, I just love that shit. Like, everybody in the comments, like, what happened to Craig? Like, stuff like that gets me going. I love spelling errors. They're not, it's very like third grade of me, but I just like love spelling mistakes. I love super weird stuff, like where people are like, man, I don't like this beer, but then I made it into a syrup reduction. I poured it all over this pie, 5 stars. You're like, what are you doing? Like, all that, I love it. So, yeah, I mean, if there was all fun, dumb content, I would post it. Or the other guy, this kid who's clearly in college just trolling. Every post on his entire page is about his ex-wife. He was never married, but he has a whole account dedicated to talking shit on his imaginary ex-wife. Like, that's
how do you know he was never married? Is this like, did you do a deep dive research on this kid?
No, I don't actually know, but I mean, chances are, I just the gut check says fake. I usually don't post fake stuff, but if it's like very dedicated, I gotta respect it.
I mean, sometimes as long as it's funny, that's what matters.
This other guy who checked in Coors 5,000 times, and he calls every time he checks in, he's like, a well-deserved craft. Perfect. Like that. That's just quality.
What's your go-to domestic?
Honestly?
Yes. Yes. I don't want you to lie to me.
I don't even have one because I can just buy Freem pills at a gas station.
I don't even know what Freem pills is.
Freem pills.
Freem Family Brewers. P-F-R-I-E-M. They're in Hood River here in Oregon, but I don't know how, but it's everywhere. You can get it anywhere, even dives, just like Freem pills. And it's one of the best pills I've ever had in my life. If I had to go to a go-to domestic, probably Hams.
All right.
Hams, or like High Life, maybe High Life, PBR though. After that. And after that, I don't even care anymore. I'm just obviously getting drunk. I don't know. No, actually, Negro Modelo. I like Bohemia better than that, actually. But that's a little harder to find, so.
I mean, I don't think that's domestic because it's in another country.
True, but I mean, I'm thinking in SoCal mode. Like, man, we had Mexican beer everywhere. I don't know.
That's.
I lived in San Diego. I'm from SoCal, so
we're here in Michigan, and it blows my mind when people are like, we don't get Labatt or we don't get Molson, and I'm like, what do you mean you don't get Molson? This is just right there. Like, it's every 7-Eleven gas station carries Molson.
So your Mexico is Canada. I got it.
Yeah.
I mean, technically where we are, Canada is south of us. So it's just,
I bet you the Canadian burritos don't hit the same though.
I don't think I've ever had a Canadian burrito before.
Yeah, same.
No, they have there's a chain out in Canada called Swiss Chalet, which is like an American version of Denny's with booze.
Okay.
And not the rednecks. No offense to the rednecks, but you know how it works.
You got poutine there?
They got poutine there, but they have Cajun pierogies.
Ooh.
And it is easily some of the best, like, food, like, drunk food I'll ever eat is when I'm over
there. Cajun food from a Canadian chain?
It's pierogies with, like, Cajun spices. That's all it is.
This sounds Midwest AF.
Oh, you know, for sure. As we end every single show, each of us is going to ask you a final question and then give you the opportunity to tell us where we can find you online and maybe get one of those Pilsner girls pins. We'll start with Nick. Nick, what's your final question for the Pilsner boy?
You said you were going out tonight. Where are you going out tonight, and what are you planning on drinking when you get there?
Going to a Cuban restaurant. I'm going to slam a bunch of daiquiris, and I'm going to Chuckanut Brewery next door. They make insane lagers. And then I'm going to Horse Brass Pub, which is a British pub, and I'm probably going to get some on Nitro, and then I'm going to Bellwether after that. I'm getting more cocktails.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Wendy?
I was just thinking about the time difference, because I'm like, dude, I'm going to go to bed.
It's not even 5 here.
So what is your favorite review that you've posted so far?
I feel like that's trying to pick a child, favorite child.
There's got to be one that always sticks in your mind.
I have two. I can't decide because they're both insane. One of them is the guy who drank Bourbon County Stout, and he's like, I love this beer. It's big and it's boozy and it's hard. And I like this beer because I'm not a weak and bad liberal. I'm all caps hard. That's my favorite shit ever. And Tide is the guy who goes all caps freaking out. He's like, they said this was a local beer, but if you look at the can, it's from New England and it's an NEIPA. And he gave it a 1 out of 5. Oh, man. Favorite. Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh my gosh, I'm laughing because it's a New England IPA, but he's probably somewhere in fucking bumfuck Texas.
Yeah, he was in like North Carolina or something. I don't know.
Oh my God, that is way too funny. Some of the stuff that you post, obviously your Instagram, Pilsner-ish. If you're watching via the video, we appreciate it. If you're listening to the podcast, check out the show notes or go to youtube.com/betteronDraft and watch the video. That's where his links will be as well. My final question for you is very, very simple. When did you stop caring so much about craft beer?
Never. I mean, I still care.
Yeah, but there's a point where you reached an apex and came down. Had to be.
Yeah. Moving out of the country. I left here in 2013. For a few years, and I mean, my access to craft beer was completely different, and I was taken back, but like minimum 7 years in terms of styles and stuff. So I just was like, man, I better get used to Kolsch's or something, you know, instead of going to the brewery in Placentia every weekend, getting ripped on chocolate rain. So yeah, that definitely ushered it in. Like just traveling and just depending on what access you have, it will, I mean, you drink what's available. So that was a big part of it. But yeah, like stopping, checking in. I don't know. I just was like, man, this takes
a check in every beer, every time.
I would check in a lot. But yeah, I mean, after, I don't know, maybe 2014, I was like, dude, this is taking too much time. Also, I'm not gaining anything from this. I don't, you know, I just kind of fell off. So, yeah.
All right. And I do have one more final question because it's been bugging me this entire time as I've been looking over your right shoulder. I believe it's your right. Is that a DDR pad behind you?
Hell yeah.
I wanted to say it, ask, but it just like it just couldn't be. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It is. And it's thick. It's like full arcade.
Oh, that's arcade like. Quality.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh,
oh
yeah.
Oh man.
Did you build that yourself?
No, I bought it. There's this company called Stepmania X. They drop them like every so often, and they're not cheap, but great cardio. great cardio. It's way more fun than Peloton.
Ken, I think Ken, you and I need to get back into DDR.
Yeah, Nick and I definitely used to go to the arcade and drop lots of money playing.
Lots
DDR.
Of money.
Still should. Let me know.
I tell you what, I was a lot more athletic in my late teens, early 20s playing that game. But that's going to do it. The Pilsner boy, Pilsner-ish, where can they find you?
Pilsner-ish on Instagram. I auto-post all that stuff to Facebook, but people still find it somehow. Pilsner-ish.com. There's literally nothing on there except pins. There's Pilsner girl pins. I don't know. I think I'm going to drop some like bucket hats and fanny packs pretty soon. But yeah, that's it for now. I mean, I don't have any other. Oh, there is a Discord. It's Pilsner-ish. The link is in the Instagram too. The Discord is mostly people who are like the most degenerate followers on the account, which is fun.
Which makes me want to join.
Yeah. Also some gamers on there, you know, we play some Overwatch, some Valorant, some Magic. We play Magic all the time. So,
yeah. All right. That's going to do it. Episode 307, Better on Draft podcast. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.